It's time for Open Forum on News Talk 1230 KFJB AM and 93.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome into Open Forum. I'm your host, Zach Tomish, and today we're joined with Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator, Kim Elder. How you doing today, Kim?
Good morning. I am doing well. How about you?
I am doing great. You know, I think the weather is finally going to turn this week. I'm going to knock on wood a little bit. We might see no more fall springs, but spring and summer in our horizon. What do you think?
You know, it is April in Iowa. It can do a little bit of everything. Same with May. You know, we can go back and forth so much. April and May, I'm just glad to see some green grass and some flowers coming up.
Yeah, so my birthday is on Sunday here, Kim, and I've had a couple snowstorms that I remember after my birthday. So let's not speak that into existence. Let's just hope for nice weather as we move forward and into May here. But emergency management. One thing that I learned recently in talking with Marshall County Public Health Director Sydney Gruel, you guys partner up to do some different, just different demonstrations or presentations to organizations and groups across Marshall County.
Yeah, we do. We partner up with public health, with secondary roads, with conservation, a lot of different departments. Public health seems to be a real close partner just because we have a lot of the preparedness planning, you know, that kind of thing in common. So, Sheriff's Office too, you know, just a lot of different ones, partners that we have. Work with our fire departments and our EMS departments, the hospital. But all of those, you know, we all have the same goals. We want to protect and help our community prepare for whatever might happen. So whether that's teaching first aid, or whether that's telling everyone what to do during a storm. We have the Stop the Bleed campaign. I know you've talked to public health about that. And so there's just so many different aspects of it that really tie all of our different departments together. And we just want to better our community. So there's a lot of different, like you said, classes or presentations that we just offer for free. And we go out to clubs and libraries, schools, and present these, because if we can prepare our citizens here, those residents are then going to be in turn more prepared to take care of themselves for the first 24, 48, 72 hours after a disaster or after an event, and then we can focus our first response on those that truly need it, so those that have some life safety issues. That's what we're out there to do.
Yeah, so Kim, if I had, I think of like a group like maybe a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout troop, Girl Scout troop, maybe a church or just a service club. How do they reach out to you guys to get something like this lined up?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of different ways that you can through our Facebook, Marshall County, Iowa Emergency Management. We've got our new website, which also has a form on there that you can reach out to us. It goes directly to our email. So the MarshallEMA.org, that has some also some information under the resources on what we can offer. There's some ideas, but not all-inclusive. So if you have a question, you can reach out that way. Or you can call our office at 754-6385 and just, you know, say, hey, this is what we have in mind. What can you do? Myself, I have the training to work with the Boy and Girl Scouts. So have gone through, you know, what we need to do so we can make sure that we're safe, too, for them. So I do a lot of those also. Just there's so many different offerings. I sign off on badge things quite often. So it's just a great way. I love working with the younger people, too. It's just a good way to get them started. So when we get into the schools and we get into those youth groups, it triggers something like, oh, I can do that for myself. I can learn how to do this, or this is how I can help protect myself and then also share it with my family. So it's a conduit for us going through the kids to go back and they'll say, look what I learned. And, you know, even the parents, the grandparents and siblings can learn from what they learned.
Yeah, there's a whole emergency preparedness merit badge that I know they have to earn in Boy Scouts that's Eagle required. So, Kim, could people or could those groups request a specific topic? Like if they, you know, again, going back to that Boy Scout troop, if they were getting ready to go maybe on their first camp out or something, could you request a specific topic that would be good for them?
Absolutely. Yep, we've done that a lot, especially, like you said, with the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts there. Tailored towards certain things that they may be going to do or maybe need that badge for. But we've also had some civic groups that, you know, they've got an event coming up, so how do we do, you know, X? And can you help us with that? Can you help us to show how to build an emergency kit? Or maybe a group has dollars that they'd like to spend towards emergency preparedness, and we can give them some ideas on different groups that they can support or what they could buy for the communities. So, yeah, so we can do anything from teaching them how to do stuff or how to research on, you know, what they really could give back to their community. Also, you know, talking to groups, especially younger people, but any age, on how you can give back to your community by volunteering. So we can go out and say, here's some opportunities. If, you know, if you're interested in X, Y, or Z, maybe you don't want to be a firefighter or an EMT, but you're fit for our CERT training. Just, you know, what can you do with the skills that you have? So everyone has skills. They're all different, but we can find that niche for you so that you can, you know, get in there and help volunteer with your community.
Yeah, there's a lot of options even with that CERT team. You know, I think people that are interested in storms, there's storm spotter training as well. There's ways to help out in the aftermath of storms and all sorts of different opportunities for people. Has that storm spotter training already happened here this spring, Kim?
Yeah, we did too, but we can still offer those. We offer them pretty much year-round, which seems kind of strange since spring storm season kind of starts around that March time frame. We usually offer at least one. We offered two this year in March during Severe Weather and Awareness Week. But in Iowa, we can see tornadoes and even some severe, you know, windstorms and thunderstorms in most of the months of the year. Just the way we lay, you know, throughout the topography of the United States, we kind of get those storms. And so, yeah, it's just important to know that stuff. We could train severe storm spotting, and again, it's not chasing, but spotting, knowing what you're seeing, learning how to read the radar, learning how to read the clouds, how to prepare for that. We can do that any time of the year, and, you know, if you prepare in January or February, maybe that's your downtime, but we're telling you what's going to be coming in the spring, that's okay, too, so it can go on all year round.
Yeah, and I know you're Marshall County. I think I saw Tama County Sheriff said, anybody out storm chasing, please slow down and still follow the rules of the road. So even if you're out there doing that, we want to keep everybody safe in every aspect of that. Joined today with Kim Elder, Marshall County Emergency Management. Kim, when we come back, I think we want to talk a little RAGBRAI and some preparedness that the riders and the community needs with that coming up and coming to town here. So stick with us.
Hi, I'm Dave Thompson from Thompson True Value. If you're tired of the big box grills that you throw out after a short time, it's time to step up to the quality of Weber. Thompson's carries the area's largest selection of Weber grills. The two-burner Spirit E210 starts at only $399. Also, check out the new Genesis 2 lineup, assembly already included at Thompson True Value. And we have charcoal grills, including the 22-inch Weber Original Kettle for $139 and a charcoal 18-inch Original Kettle for $119. For tailgating, check out the Smoky Joe Premium for $58.99. Thompson True Value also sells a full line of replacement parts for Weber gas or charcoal grills, as well as a full line of accessories such as digital thermometers, vegetable baskets, covers, and more. Stop by and say hello and see our new store at 106 South Center Street in downtown Marshalltown with its convenient layout and location. I like to say, park at the door and into the store. Thompson True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
With racing-inspired automotive style suspension and integrated cutting decks, Ferris commercial mowers are engineered to deliver a quality cut faster, allowing professional landscapers to earn more profit and bragging rights. Ferris suspension is not just a feature or a marketing gimmick, it is a game changer that simply has to be experienced. True suspension changes everything. Visit Goose Implement in Gladbrook or ferrismower.com today to set up a test drive and feel the Ferris difference. Ferris, experience suspension.
Hey, it's Joe Pags. Join me for the Joe Pags Show every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. Who's doing the redacting? I think that's an interesting question. You know, Trump is hiding something, but please, shut up. For 4 years, you had Biden in there and all these idiots. They all could have released it. Why didn't they? So please stop with the whole lie that somehow this is to protect Trump. That's just stupid. Join me for the Joe Pags Show, Monday through Friday, right here, one of America's first radio stations, News Talk 1230 KFJB and 93.9 FM, Marshalltown.
Welcome back to Open Forum. We're joined today with Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator Kim Elder, just talking about her and her team going around and doing some presentations to different groups, schools, libraries, things like that. If you want more information, you can reach out to her team and they can get that lined up for you. Kim, we also have this big event where we're like going to double the population of Marshalltown. There's going to be a bunch of people on bikes here in town. Ragbride, July 22nd. Let's start with anybody that's going to be out riding. I've always questioned why they do Ragbri when they do, because it seems like it's the warmest week of the year. And that means they got to have extra water on them for sure. But what else should these riders kind of be prepared for?
Yeah, obviously I didn't plan the ride because it would have been like September, right?
Yeah.
You know, just a little cooler. But yeah, that hot week. So those riders are getting a lot of information, whether they're new or seasoned riders, you know, they get a lot of information from Ragbri on how to prepare themselves, and that's really important. So it can be anything, like you said, from water to first aid to, you know, what do you do if there's a storm in the community that you're in. And so then, in turn, our communities that they pass through and the one Marshalltown that they stay over overnight, we have to have planning for the whole route through our county. So emergency management works with the different groups. So law enforcement, heavily driven, obviously, since it's through the roadways in our county. But also, you know, there's campgrounds and food and vending. There's so many different committees. There are just tons. And I know you've been talking to John Hall about that. And there's just a lot of partners behind the scenes doing a lot of stuff that's, you know, above and beyond our daily duties. So it is another full-time job right now, just getting that ready. But we want to make sure they enjoy our community. We want to make sure our community enjoys them. We don't want, like you said, we're doubling the population. So we need to be prepared for double of whatever might happen, right? So our daily events still happen. Our ambulance calls still happen. Our fire calls, our police calls. So they're still busy, but then they also have to ramp up for anything else that might happen. So we make those plans. We do a lot of the planning is really around how to protect those riders as they come through the community, and in turn protect our communities. But we have to be able to shelter a lot more people in places that might not be traditional shelters, because again, you're moving a whole city with you right across the state. So we're looking at one of the really neat parts of it. We can involve the communities and the people that live on the routes. And so if you notice there, as they're releasing those routes and you're like, oh, they're gonna ride right by my house. It's a little bit inconvenient for a little while, right? A few hours they're riding by. You may have your roads partially shut down, but what can I do to like help that route? And one of them that we're looking at right now is the sheltering aspect of it. Do you have a facility, a barn, somewhere that these riders could get in if a hailstorm came through, as you know, as they're riding, because we can't shelter that many people, like especially in the rural areas. You know, they're riding from our county line on the west side to State Center. So State Center has some sheltering options, but what do you do when you're in the rural areas? And then again, from State Center to Marshalltown, a lot of rural area. So we tried to think outside the box, and we're working with the safety committee to come up with ideas, and we'll be seeing those here posted pretty soon. So watch our Facebook page, and if you'd like to, you know, kind of offer some of those sheltering areas, that's something that you could do if you're on the route. So again, stay tuned. We're getting close to that. But there's just a lot of aspects. Traffic, like you mentioned, CERT, they're very involved with traffic and signage and helping the riders make sure they don't, like the rough railroad tracks. We have to make sure that the riders are aware that those are very rough. They may have to get off their bikes and walk them across. So, just tons of different planning aspects of that. But it's going to be a fun time. A lot of people come into the communities. A lot of, you know, food vendors and things that we can enjoy, too, as residents of the county. So kind of like a festival just moving across your county, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So real quick, Kim. So when RAGBRAI went to the Tama-Toledo area just a couple years ago, did you have to be involved in any of that planning as they came through Marshall County to make sure, like you're saying, there was places for people to shelter in case of inclement weather?
Yeah, even as a pass-through county, you do have it's not as big of an issue when they're just barely touching your county. But, yes, you do have planning if you are involved with any of the pass-through.
Yeah, I guess, in my head, I've never done RAGBRAI myself. You think about, they're traveling all day and they're not, you know, going much faster or any faster than a vehicle would be. So they're going to get stuck in potentially bad weather that week of July. So July 22nd is that date when those RAGBRAI riders come into town. Anything else, Kim, about maybe for the community that we need to know when it comes to RAGBRAI and emergency management?
Yeah, I would say the big thing is just patience. You know, you can step up and be a volunteer. There's a lot of aspects. John Hall's got that info. We have some info on that. But, you know, just have some patience. It's a bunch of people that are just having fun riding their bikes across state. Can be a little bit of inconvenience, like I said, some routes on the traffic, but it only lasts a few hours, and then it's done, you know, within the, you know, full day that they're riding through and then back out. So I think the patience part of it, and just, you know, have fun with it and just enjoy the, like I said, the food trucks and the festivities that are going on in the communities, and enjoy. It's not just for them, it's for us too. So enjoy that time and just be safe.
Yeah, it should be a good night here when RAGBRAI rolls through town. There'll be a ton of extra things happening as well. So I think patience is key, whether it's, you know, waiting to get out of your drive because your road's blocked off, or you're just waiting for that corn dog from the food vendor, right?
The lines can be a little long.
Yes, the line will be just a little bit longer. Joined today with Kim Elder, Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator. After this break, we're going to talk just a little bit more about that spring and summer planning for emergency management, so stick with us.
All right, let's cut through the bull. This is Todd Steinkamp, General Manager of KFJB, and I'll be the first to admit it. Sometimes we in radio haven't done ourselves any favors. We call ourselves great communicators, but when it comes to explaining why radio works for advertising, we've fallen short. Because I hear people say, everything's moved to digital. And look, digital absolutely has its place. But Nielsen's 2026 Audio Today report is out. And here's what we should have been saying all along. The facts are, radio reaches 93% of U.S. adults every month. I'll say that again for those in the back. Radio reaches 93% of U.S. adults every month. That's more than any platform out there. That's a fact. Even with younger audiences, 89% of adults 18 to 34 are listening. And radio dominates audio services like Pandora and Spotify. Only about 15% of people listen to them. So yeah, maybe we haven't always explained it well, but the facts are, radio works. It dominates. And if you want to reach customers, your business should be using it.
Breathtaking jewelry, unique gifts, all that awaits you at Helberg's Jewelers. Built on integrity in 1898, Helberg's Jewelers remains the only locally owned family jewelry store in Marshalltown. Today, four generations later, our family is here to guide you with your jewelry and gift selections you will be proud to give. Free gift wrap, elegant handmade bows, experience Helberg's in downtown Marshalltown.
Parents of Marshall County, if your student is headed to an Iowa community college or university, help make paying for school a little easier. The Frank Pierce Trust offers educational loans at just 1% interest. This trusted local program has been helping students succeed since 1950, and the application process is simple. Learn more about eligibility and apply online at frankpiercetrust.com. But don't wait. The application deadline is May 31st, 2026. That's frankpiercetrust.com.
Welcome back to Open Forum. I'm your host, Zach Tomish, joined today with Kim Elder, Marshall County Emergency Management Coordinator. Kim, you know, we've been talking a little bit again with Marshall County Public Health Director Sydney Gruel. She mentioned kind of putting together that like a first aid kit for maybe your vehicle and things like that. It's interesting because you guys kind of both bring two unique perspectives to maybe that one kit that goes into your vehicle. Now's the time to maybe switch over anything from winter to spring in your car. So what on your end would you want to make sure is in that emergency kit for your vehicle, or maybe if you're going out hiking or something for the day?
Yeah, I think, you're right. There's, you know, that one kit that we just kind of need to refresh all the time. So people think, oh, I got to make all these kits. Not really. You're just refreshing it. So take out some of the storage that you had in there for the winter things. You know, take your mittens and gloves out and maybe put some regular, you know, like leather gloves or some work gloves in there and, you know, do the things that you need to do for the spring, summer activities. So it's not making new kits. It's just refreshing those kits. Water being in there, make sure that the temperature in your car, obviously you don't want a lot of water sitting around in high temperatures in those water bottles. It's not good for you. It can leach right into that water, so that water will expire quicker. Make sure you're watching that. But like you said, if you're going out for some fun activities, just plan for not just the first aid things, but what else you might need. So battery chargers are a huge one for me. You know, cell phone chargers. Make sure that you have the cords if you need those. And I love my new solar charger. It's so much easier. Just stick it on the dash of the car, and it's ready all the time, ready for me to go out and walk or whatever it might be. And just, I think, letting people know where you're at. You know, it's not in your kit, but it's just like wintertime. If you go out and take a hike or you're going somewhere to camp, you know, just letting people know where you're at, it just is a little bit of relief for families, especially, and friends to know, you know, where you're at. If you have any problems when you're out there, then they have a way to locate you. And, you know, just in safety in general. So just it really depends on what you're going out to do. So boating and things is going to, you know, require a little bit different than maybe hiking or camping. But yeah, just make sure that you're thinking ahead, taking the things that you need.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing Sydney said as well when talking about that first aid kit, refresh everything. Make sure things aren't expired. Make sure, you know, if those Band-Aids have been sitting in that first aid kit for a couple of years, they might not stick as well. So just sometimes it's good to just put new equipment in there, because out with the old and with the new, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yep, those high and even the cold temperatures can affect, especially those glues, the tapes, and the even the gloves. You know, that's something we don't think about, the non-latex gloves that you use for, like, first aid. You think, oh, those are fine. If you actually open those up, a lot of times if they've been sitting for a while, they just kind of glue themselves together. They kind of get all icky or brittle, so replace those. But, yeah, she's right. There's things that just expire in there, and just go through them. So that's good news, you know, for good information for any of your kits. Your tornado safe area, if you have a kit there, which you should, small kit there. Again, go through it, make sure everything's refreshed in there, update things. I always talk about taking a comfort item for children that may go into those storm shelter areas. So if that's a coloring book and crayons, or if it's maybe a blankie or a toy, you know, as those age out, you know, take those out, put some new things in. It keeps them occupied if you have to be in that tornado safe area for a while. So yeah, it's just refreshing those kits is a good idea.
Yeah, Kim, I did put a coloring book down there for myself as well in my tornado.
That's okay.
Okay.
Those adult coloring books are pretty nice.
Yeah.
You can use the kid ones too, Zach. It's okay.
All right. Well, Kim, I appreciate you stopping by today and just keeping us informed about what we need to be prepared for in case of an emergency. So thanks for all you do in our community.
Yeah, thanks for getting the word out, Zach.